1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, obviously, this passage is dealing with the Lord's cup, the Lord's Supper. In this first epistle to the church of Corinth, Paul is sending a sharp, rebuking letter of the different issues in each chapter where this church is off the rails. In chapter 11, they are misappropriating the Lord's Supper. So he's correcting them. He says, let a man examine himself. And then he says, so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. And then he gives a stern warning in verse 29. That if you eat and are you drink unworthily, you're eating and you're drinking damnation to yourself. And he says, for this cause, many are sick. There are those who take the Lord's Supper when they're not right with the Lord. They're sin in their life. The Holy Spirit has dealt with them. They've not addressed it. They've not asked forgiveness for it. They've not turned from it. But yet they, perhaps to save face or they partake to go with the group that's taking. The Lord tells us that many of these people, they're unworthy to take it, and they're drinking damnation, and they get sick because of it. Then it says many sleep. And sleep is the metaphor for death for the child of God. Stephen, I think in Acts chapter 7, the Bible says, and he fell asleep. And so it's a metaphor for death for the child of God. Then he continues in verse 31 and said, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." There's this concept that some people have. I've heard this before. It's been years. But there was a deacon in a Baptist church, not this church. And he was not right with God. And he didn't take the Lord's Supper. He was living in sin. And he didn't take the Lord's Supper. And some of the other men were commending him, saying, "We commend you that you didn't take the Lord's Supper." Well, that's not the right decision. The right decision is to repent of his sin. But because he did not, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. God is going to judge him now. And then he says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened." Chastening comes to the children of God, not to the people, the lost folks in the way of Cain. Chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's the whole context of this passage. We're not serving the Lord's Supper tonight. I always read this when we serve the Lord's Supper. I'll be reading it very soon as we serve the Lord's Supper. But I want you to notice verse 28 says, "Let a man examine himself." And certainly when we take the Lord's Supper, it's a solemn time at our church. Not time for kids to be playing, not a time for a bunch of fooling around. We need to examine ourselves. We're to look back to remember unto the day that I come. We're to look forward that he's coming again. Then we're to look within. But, you know, we don't need to wait for the Lord's Supper to examine ourselves. And we examine things. We have at least an annual checkup. I hate those checkups. Don't you? I hate going to it. The first thing they do before you can hardly get through the door once they call you back is get on that scale. You know, that's the first thing. I hate those scales. I hate them. They're never right. I got on one not long ago, and it said, "One at a time, please." But it's time for an examination. And they're going to take a bunch of blood, and they're going to want you to stick your tongue out and say, ah, they're going to poke you and punch you and look in your ear and look in your nose. And I got a friend, and he couldn't hear. Friend of mine, preacher friend. And I got a lot of preacher friends, so you can't guess who it is. I got a bunch of them. But I got a number of preacher friends. So he goes to they're having a free hearing thing for hearing aids. So he goes, and the nurse gets there and looks down and says, sir, your ears are so filthy, I can't see. And said, would you please go get your ears cleaned and then come back? So he went and got his ears cleaned and came back, and the nurse looked back in there and said, sir, your ears are perfect. You just need to keep them clean more often. True story. But anyway, so don't just wash behind your ears. Wash in your ears, too, okay? But we have an examination. You know, we do this with possessions that we have. Not long ago, I took my Toyota in, and it was time, to have the examination. And man, they found all kinds of stuff they could do. They found $750 worth of stuff to do. They changed the brake fluid because the brake fluid gets nasty and rust out. And they had a thingamajig that needed to be replaced. And it's right behind the bobble thing, but they got it all fixed, and it's pre-maintenance. They say it's going to make my car run longer and better. But it was in the examination. They got a chart when I go in there. And as children of God, we ought to just really notice, let a man examine himself. Verse 28, notice verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we ought to judge ourselves. Now, we're good at judging others. Holy cow, she's so fat she can't get through the double doors. Well, have you judged yourself? Have you looked in the mirror lately? Have you got one of those reverse mirrors, you know? We're good at judging others. But we're not so good about judging ourselves. Let me tell you some areas that we need to examine. I know who I'm preaching to tonight. But I think we ought to examine our salvation. Marta was just talking about her mother being led to the Lord playing in the front yard by a Baptist minister's wife. And we ought to be able to go back and to relive, recount. We all should have a Damascus Road experience somewhere. You know, we just didn't get saved one day. We just didn't wake up one morning saved. We're not saved through osmosis. Is there spiritual awakening that happens? There's an old song that says, I can take you to the place and I can tell you the time where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. Salvation's not a New Year's resolution. Salvation's not, making a deal with God. Salvation's not reformation. Salvation's not religion. Salvation's not church membership. Salvation's not baptism. Salvation is not trying to clean up our life and saying a prayer. Salvation is acknowledging our sinful condition, realizing the penalty of sin, repenting and turning from our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, for redemption. That is salvation. And you need to examine your salvation. Can I tell you, just because your daddy loves God doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And just because your mama knows the Bible and teaches Sunday school doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And every bucket's going to sit on its one bottom and on its own bottom. And you better understand that salvation is important. Salvation comes from God. It comes through Christ, and it comes for repentant sinners. And I think it's important to examine our salvation. You know, I made a profession of faith when I was 11 years old. And I didn't have much light. I made a profession of faith. And I wasn't in church for many years after that. And I doubted my salvation constantly. I wanted, you know, there's something in me that wanted to please God and wanted to do the right thing, but I didn't do the right thing often. I didn't think the right way. And I was bothered about it. And I would lay in bed at night and I would think to myself, are you really saved? Are you really going to heaven? And then I started making deals with myself. I started making deals that, well, you know, he's a deacon's son. If he goes to heaven, I sure he'll go to heaven. You know, this guy goes to church all the time. And I never go to church, but, you know, if he's got a chance for heaven. And I started making comparisons. But our comparisons with the Ten Commandments are how far short of God's glory we've come. And I had to come down to the point that day when I was 15 years old, some 5 years later, that I met what I said that day and that God pricked my heart and I knew I was a sinner. And I didn't have much more light than that, but I did get genuinely born again. And I've never doubted it since then. But I think that we have people, we have floaters in church that just are just floating. There's a great comfort in being in a strong church and with strong, dedicated, committed people. And yet salvation in Christ is not real in their life. We see it in churches across the country. Kids who grow up in churches like ours. And they go out as soon as they get their wings, as soon as they get their freedom, and live like hell. I don't think salvation would do that. And I want you to know this. When I graduated from high school, I was looking at going into the Marine Corps. And God had called me to preach. And I thought I'd do 4 years in the Corps and have some money to go to college. I didn't have any money. My dad, who was in the Marine Corps, talked me out of going, didn't want me to go. And I sold some things that I had and went and I worked hard and got through. But I could have done whatever I wanted to do. My parents would have said very little about it. They might have said, you know, that's disappointing. They might have said, you know, good boys don't do things like that. And I would have probably said, well, that's your opinion. But today, this is acceptable. But there was something in me that forbid me to do that. And let me tell you what it was. It's salvation. And if you have a hard way of walking the straight and narrow, maybe you ought to just examine your salvation to see if you've got the real deal, to see if maybe you have a head knowledge instead of a heart knowledge. Yeah. Salvation is here. Yeah. You know, repentance is a changing of the mind that brings about a change of heart, that brings about a change of your life. And salvation is real, and I don't need a mommy, and I don't need a daddy, and I don't need a deacon, and I don't need a pastor or a preacher. I don't need a wife hounding me and over me trying to get me to do the right thing. It's within me to do right because of salvation. So maybe you should examine your salvation. Secondly, let me suggest that maybe you should examine your company. You know, Psalm 1 talks about our company. And listen what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. Now here's the crowd. They're ungodly. Here's the crowd. They're sinners. Here's the crowd. They're scorners. But his delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not withereth, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, when they would harvest their wheat, they would have chaff mixed in with it. Chaff was much lighter than what the wheat was. So they had these bins. It's kind of like a large frisbee with a lip on it. And they would throw the chaff and the wheat up. And the wheat would fall back in, but the wind would drive the chaff away. And he says here that the ungodly not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, maybe we ought to examine our company. You know, I know some folks never get on track of really pleasing God and walking with God because they have such seedy circle of influence in their life. Now, we need to try to reach those people. But I want you to know, there come in my own experience, I've tried to reach family that's going to jail. I've tried to reach family that's going to prison. I've taken rent money that we had for our apartment and paid bail. And I could just go on and tell you, but there comes a time where they're just takers and they're just going to drain you. And they're not going to repent. They don't care about the Lord. They don't want what you've got. And you cannot abide in that company anymore and go forward yourself. There comes a time when you cut the ropes and you and God need to go ahead. Amen. And God desires us to be separated. He says, walk not. He says, stand not. He says, sit not with the ungodly. And notice over in Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 20, I think. Let's see here. Now, Proverbs 13, verse 20. Nope, that's not it. That's because I'm in Psalms. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. God wants us to examine our company. Now, a lot of times when we think about examining our company, we're talking about people that live a debauchery life. They drink, they watch pornography, they use profanity. But, you know, we get back to that ammonia bleach scenario. Had a lady one time who she started a cleaning business. And there was a shower she was trying to clean and she couldn't get it clean. So she said that she got in there and she took straight ammonia and she took straight bleach and she mixed them. And it made a toxic poison. She said she was crawling on her hands and knees and she got out to there's a deck on the back with a sliding door. She got it open and collapsed outside. And not all our company has to be raunchy, sinful people, but just people who don't sharpen us. People that don't make us better. We need to examine that. I was in Bible college and I had a friend. And I enjoyed him. He was rowdy. I've drawn to a lot of rowdy friends, I think. And he was rowdy. And I got with him and we started driving to college together. And we ran a bus route together. We were together all the time. And he and I just became very good friends. And in chapel service, a preacher got up and he preached, Amnon had a friend. And the Holy Spirit smote me. And I was driving home. He was riding with me. I was taking him to his house. He's got to get changed and get to work. I had to get to my house and get to work. And I turned to him and I called his name and I said, God convicted me today in chapel. And I'm going to say something that's going to be really hard. And I can't believe I'm going to say what I'm going to say, but I've got to do what the Spirit of God has talked to me about and has convicted me about. But we're not good for each other. We've gotten so close, and we bring the negative out of each other. We don't enhance one another for the things of God. We're not good for each other. We're not sharpening one another. And I sure do love you. I still want you to be a friend, but I think we need to distance ourselves. And he went ballistic. And we would see them, bump into them at the grocery store, and they'd give us the cold shoulder, wouldn't speak to us. But I came home that day, and I was getting changed to go to work. I told Debbie, I said, God convicted me about something, and I told her what I'd done. And she says, oh, I know that. I said, you know that? She said, oh, yeah, he's not good for you, and you're not good for him. Y'all bring the worst out of both of yourselves. Y'all are some sight when y'all get together. I said, what in the world did you tell me? She looked at me like, really? I don't want to tell you. You know, so many ways I parallel with Peter. You can't tell me anything. Even God is telling me the cock's going to crow, and I'm arguing about it. Just like that. But she said, yeah. She said, when you get with him, you're negative. When you get with him, you become critical. She said, that's not who you are. You're a positive person. You're always positive. You're very seldom negative and behave that way. But when you get with him, he brings all that out in you. And it was a good thing. You know. But I didn't need my wife to sing. I'm glad she did. But I didn't need that. See, the Spirit of God told me, here's another guy going to be a preacher, going to serve the Lord. But he wasn't good for me. By the way, he's not married to the same woman. He's not in ministry today. And I don't say that with any glee at all. I'm sad about it. But I'm just saying, we need to examine our company. You know, we think just because they're not trying to sell us dope, you know, just because they're not out drinking wine and beer and boot scooting. But I mean, they don't have your same values. They don't have your same convictions. They aren't reinforcing the good things that God would have you to do. You need to evaluate. You need to examine. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Let a man examine himself. Examine your company. Examine your salvation. And then let me say that we ought to examine our thoughts. In Psalm 10, verse 4, Psalm 10, verse 4, the Bible says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And I just think we ought to examine, what do we dwell on? Think about this now. What do we dwell on? What do we think about? Is our ever living thought on some girl or some guy or some object, some material thing? You know, what's our thoughts about? Is it all given to our job? We have to think about our job. We have to do a good job. It's a Christian thing to be a good employee. But certainly that shouldn't be all our thoughts. What do we think about? What's our thought life like? I'm not just talking about, you know, certainly something that's seedy, that when you see someone, you see the opposite sex, you have this dirty thoughts. I'm not talking about that, although that certainly would be included. But I'm just saying, what kind of thoughts do you have? What's through your day? Are they happy thoughts? Are they pleasant thoughts? Are they joyful thoughts? Are they sour and negative and nasty and mean? And people are against me and people don't like me. And listen, why don't you examine your thoughts? And if you don't, listen, you change the way you think. I'm just not going to think that way. The Bible tells us if there be any virtue, if there be any, you know, think on these things. What about your thoughts? What do you dwell upon? The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's a big thing. Examine your thought life. I think about a lot of different things. And sometimes I will drive past, you know, a certain building, or I'll drive through where, you know, I've spent many hours in the parking lot outside a dojo waiting for kids to get finished to come and go home. I'll think about not long ago I drove by Hartsbridge and I pulled in the parking lot. And there's a basketball goal hanging up there, standing there. And Tommy Hosey put it up for me. He came out one day just before school was let out, and he took an axe and chopped through the asphalt. Only Tommy could do that. Dug a hole deep down and put it in concrete. Let me tell you something. When Tommy, he's like Billy Miller. When he puts something up, it's going to be up till Jesus comes. I sat there in the parking lot. And I just thought about how many times I beat my sons on that basketball goal. How many times I beat Ben Miller and Jeff Ferguson on that back. Beat you like a drum. Beat you like a rug. I still got it. Right here, right then. But back in the day, you know it, back in the day. And I look at you folks. And I look at you folks. I look at you folks. And I have thoughts. You know what I think? I think that you're the luckiest people in the world. And that God's blessed you with a good man and a good woman and a blessed child. You're buying a house. You're working. You're not rich, but you got money. You're serving God. And if I think about it, I think I wish I could do it all over again. I'm envious of you. Go home tonight and be grateful for what God has given you. Now, you've followed the principles. God's given it to you because you've walked with Him. But you can lose it that quick. And the devil wants to shred it. Wants to shred it. Examine your salvation. Examine your company. Examine your thoughts. And then lastly, let me say, examine your family. Notice over in Psalm 127, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, and they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Boy, that's so true. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gates. We ought to examine our home. Do we read the Bible daily in our home as a family? Do we pray daily? Do we shut out the strife and the sin and the wickedness and the filth of the world? I remember being a young father and coming home. And when there was problems in the church, and there were, and Brother Deacon was leaving because Mrs. Deacon couldn't get over something. And I'd come home, and the door was shut. Usually Joy Bell was the first one to meet me. And I'd pick her up and give her a kiss and a twirl. We'd do the small dance across the floor. Then Rachel would come. She's always been a mama's girl. She's watching tonight, I think. She's a mama's girl. Maggie was texting her mother today, and And she said, Granny's just so much like you because Granny told Maggie to do something that her mother tells her to do all the time. Be a real mark of maturity when nobody has to tell you to do it. But is your family a Christian family? Can I tell you something? I'll tell you. I'll be done. I've been through Bible college. I was a youth pastor. I had a great youth group. I would say 9 out of 10 young people were from broken homes. 9 out of 10. And we were at the Bill Rice Ranch. And they put out the branding iron paper. And you could see me and all of our large youth group all the way across, several rows of us on the front. I told our guys, you get there early, you quit football, you quit basketball, you go down, you save seats. We sit at the front. And I was sitting there as a youth pastor, married with 3 kids. And Bob Kelly got up to preach. Machine Gun Kelly, Franklin Road Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. He's with the Lord now. But before he preached, his daughters got up to sing. And it was Star, Day, and Dawn. I used to joke with Debbie and said, I think Brother Kelly was smoking dope when he named his kids. Day, Dawn, Star, you know. God forgive me, Brother Kelly, I love you. And I do. He's my favorite preacher, Machine Gun Kelly. But his daughters got up and sang. We had 3 kids, 2 of them in diapers. And as a youth pastor, through Bible college, on church staff, it dawned on me at that time, that's what a Christian family is. And that's what I want. You know, when you grow up a certain way, you think the whole world's that way, but that's not so. Amen. And we ought to examine. And I want to tell you, I want to just tell you the way it is. So you suck it up and you take it. If your home is not a Christian home, men, it's your fault. You're the reason why. Because you are to lead. I want to lead my wife in every area. And there's sometimes, and not long ago, I asked her to forgive me where I have failed in just not having character to lead in some areas. It's just a character thing. So, well, doesn't that make you look weak? I think it makes you look strong. Yeah. To your wife, to your kids. But examine yourself. Well, I'm done. Yeah, I love an expository message like this morning. This is more of a topical message. But I think we need to think. You see, Paul told the church, let a man examine himself. Now, look what he says in verse 32. And when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. You know, if we will examine ourselves, we'll stay ahead of chastening. Isn't that right? Why do we have to wait for the judgment of God to fall on us to get us to get right? And listen, there's so much baggage and so much loss and there's so much sorrow by that time. When if we'll just examine ourselves occasionally. Fall out of love with yourself. Hey, you young people. Quit being number one in your life. Quit thinking about yourself. Examine your salvation, your company, your thoughts, your family. Let's stand. Lord, help us.